please. This is our vision for this year, our theme. My name's Mick, and I'm the church leader here, and it's a fantastic church to lead. So the theme is, join us in building community. And we're looking to build communities which make a difference in our society. And as you look around society today, I think we would probably all agree that society needs something to help it. And politicians do their best. I'm one for really supporting politicians. The vast majority go into politics to do their best. Their lives are now transparent. Anybody can pick them apart. You know, who do that job? But they just, I believe, don't have enough. What we need is something else. And I believe as a Christian, we need the Spirit of God, of Jesus in our nation. And what we're looking to, we're a big church, 1,000 people, but we have communities which meet in the week, not just on a Sunday. And we want to develop those and increase them, multiply them, so we can have more communities and more people bringing godly, good values to our workplaces, our schools, our society. So that's the aim. It's very practical. It's nothing to do with filling the church with more people on a Sunday, although we do. But we want to make a difference in society. That's why Jesus came. That's what we believe. And the way we're looking to do that is this is what we do. We learn from the Bible. And a message for the local church, that's what we're looking at this year from the Bible. What does the Bible say to us as a local church? And we're looking at this letter this man Paul wrote to a church in Thessaloniki. This is the second part, started the first part last week. Thessaloniki in Greece. And this little church started meeting in somebody's house. And last week that we read the Bible, it said, we are church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 to 10, we are church. And this week we're carrying on with this man, Paul, and he says this, be encouraged. So this week's message from the Bible is about encouragement. So what I'm going to do now, if you're new to this, we do this every week, we look at the Bible. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at this little section from Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. So let's, are you ready to go? I'll pick little bits out, and then here's a challenge at the end, and we're going to pray in a final song, and then the cafe's open, and that's it. This is what this man Paul said to them. Last week he said, you're the message. Let's see what he's going to say about being encouraged this week. Do you have any idea how very homesick we became for you, dear friends? Very personal beginning, isn't it? You know, getting homesick for friends, missing friends. It's very personal, this letter. And that's one of the things we love to see about church. See, church, it's not a duty, it's a relationship. Over the years, I hear many people say, I've been to church this morning, I've done my duty. What? It's like saying, I finished work at 5, I went home to my family, I've done my duty. It's family, it's relationship. I was around in church many years ago when in the Church of England, when the sharing the peace came in. We'd just done that. You extend a hand, peace of the Lord be with you. And the other person goes, and also with you. I remember when that came in with the service book, we had training sessions in our little Anglican church on how to do it. And in the end, there was a compromise, and the compromise was this from the vicar. If you don't feel you could shake a hand with someone, it's okay. Look away. So you could either, the peace of the Lord be with, this is true, the peace of the Lord be with you, look at them, or you could do the peace of the Lord be with you, but look away, or turn your shoulder away if you're not quite ready yet to share the peace with someone. I'd been a Christian about 10 nanoseconds at that time. I'd only just become a Christian. Even then I thought, this cannot be right. It cannot be right. It wasn't right. There were riots, I'm telling you, sharing the peace. So you're smiling because you've experienced this. Church is a relationship. Even though it hadn't been that long and it was only our bodies that were separated from you, not our hearts, we tried our very best to get back to see you. You can't imagine how much we missed you. I, Paul, tried over and over to get back, but Satan stymied us each time. This is the message. This was written by a man called This is the different translations of the Bible. The one you've got, the blue one, is called the NIV. But there's another version called The Message, written by a fantastic version of, if you've never read it, get one from somewhere or get it online. It's written by a man called Eugene Peterson, American. I love these terms, but Satan stymied us. Stymied. Got in our way, blocked the way for us. Let's see what else he says here. Who do you think we're going to be proud of when our Master Jesus appears if it's not you? Because you're our pride and joy. I would like you to pause a moment and think, who are you proud of? Top tip, guys, if you sat next to your wife, it's her. But who are you proud of? Because I'm going to ask you a little later who that name is. You're going to share it with the person next to you. Who are you proud of? Who are you proud of? There's another question, which I'm not going to ask you to answer, which is, who do you hope is proud of you? That's slightly more difficult, that one, isn't it? But who are you proud of? Remember that one. Let's see what this man said. Let's keep going on. But now that Timothy's a friend of this man, Paul, who writes this letter. Now that Timothy is back, bringing this terrific report on your faith and love, we feel a lot better. It's especially gratifying to know that you continue to think well of us and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. Bringing this terrific report on your faith and love. Give me a show of hands if you loved school reports when you were at school. I loved them because I was so clever and humble. Not many people liked school. Who didn't like school reports? Be honest, Jesus is looking. A few. Just imagine imagine if you had a school report coming back and it said, maths B, English C minus, must work harder, spelling. There are not four L's in spelling. Or you had woodwork. It's not called that now, is it? It's CDT, isn't it? What's all that about? Bring back woodwork and metalwork. Let's have a show of hands. Who thinks we ought to bring that back? Woodwork and metalwork. Get rid of CDT. Any CDT teachers here? You're gone. I can remember when I was at school, we did a little bit of nostalgia before we move on with the scriptures. I remember I loved woodwork and metalwork. And in woodwork, my pride and joy was my seagrass stool. Anybody ever make a seagrass? Thank you very much. A seagrass stool with a mortise and tenon joint. You've no idea what I'm talking about here. These were bits of wood, and you had to make the joints, and they went in, you glued them, and we saw the teachers looked amazing. Mine didn't quite look like his, in that the angles were not quite 90 degrees. The hardest bit was taking it home on the bus. I had a bus pass, but he made me pay to put my stool on the seat. This is absolutely true. Kids today don't know how easy it is. It was hard in those days. Two buses I had to go on to take my seagrass stool home, and my sister said, it's not straight. But my favorite subject was metalwork. You went into the metalwork workshop and it smelt of Sheffield. You know what I mean? Metal. And my favorite thing there was I made a poker. Basically, it was a piece of thin metal and you heated it up and you twisted it. You remember those? It kind of went and it had a twist and it went on. I had four attempts because I left it in the furnace too long and I melted it. And so I had to pay a fork because you have to pay for these things. But I finally got my poker and a shovel. This was for one of these, you know, you had like a stand with a shovel on and a brush and a poker by the fire. We had a gas fire. I did raise this question, to which my metalwork teacher said, make the poker and be quiet. And I said, well, can we not ask around who's got gas fires? Why are we going to make the poker? Woodhead and be quiet. So I made his poker and I took it home on the bus. I got on the bus with this metal long object. Then he made me pay for it as I sat on the seat next to me. But what if you had your report and it said C in English, D in, but then A star star in faith and love? Absolutely. A star star. This person has got an A star star in faith and love. And we love having this person round in our class. And we love having this person in our community at the school. That's what we're trying to do with our teenagers. That they would have reports and they would excel in faith and love and generosity and kindness. That's the report you want back. Yeah, parents want good ones in maths and English, and we pray they get those. But there's no better report than saying, you are an A star star in faith and love and hope and kindness and generosity. That's what we're aiming for. And that's what he's saying here. In the middle of our trouble and hard times here, just knowing how you're doing keeps us going. Knowing that your faith is alive keeps us alive. And you know, when you're going through troubles and hard times, as we all do, how encouraging it is to know that people you know are doing well. People that you've encouraged and blessed and helped on the journey of life, that they're doing well. Because it lifts you from your trouble and hard time and say, we're so glad, you know, it's difficult for us at the moment, but you're doing so good and we're so pleased. It lifts your spirits. That's what he's saying. Paul was in a hard place when he wrote this, but he's saying, we're so pleased you're doing well. What would be an adequate thanksgiving to offer God for all the joy we experience before him because of you? Do you see what's coming across here? It's so personal. This letter is encouraging these Christians. He's saying, you're amazing, you guys. How wonderful if we could be writing emails and texts and sending Instagrams to people we know saying, you're doing so good, well done. Press on, you're doing good. How wonderful in our nation if we, maybe I'm a dreamer, rather than the critical spirit that is abroad in our nation so often. We criticize everyone who makes decisions in authority. We're waiting for the first mistake people make, and we're onto them, like a pack of wolves trying to bring them down, especially in politics. Bring them down, resign, resign, bring them down. It is a critical spirit. You will not find that. You'll find a challenging spirit in the Bible, but not a critical spirit in the Bible. What does he go on to say here? So he's trying to encourage them and really help them on their way. Then he says this, we do what we can, praying away night and day. I hate it when this guy says that. He says it all the time, Paul. It's praying night and day. It makes me feel so inadequate. However, as a church, we pray a lot here. We pray twice a day in the week as a staff team and people join us. On Wednesday night, we've got a night of prayer here from 8 through till 10 p.m. Lots of people come. Last time we had about 150 in the room and it was just amazing. We sing these songs and we pray for our city and our nation. We pray for our children, our young people. We pray for people who are sick. We pray for people in their workplaces. If there's one thing you can do for people, it's pray for them. But I'm not a Christian, Mick. Well, become one and start praying for people. Prayer is the greatest thing you can do, and then become the answer, perhaps, to your prayers. Lord, help them, help them. And God says, go on then, you go. Oh, okay. To be the answer to your prayers is a wonderful thing. And Paul prays it. He's in Corinth, they're in Thessaloniki. You know, there's no kind of like shuttle plane to get them over there. So all he can say is to them, I'm praying for you. Night and day I'm praying for you. If we prayed a little more for our nation, I think our nation would be a better place to live in. I think we get the nation we pray for, people. Honestly. And that's why we need the church to be strong. And that's why we need the church to have this power from heaven so we can start to pray more for our politicians and those who are serving in our nation. They know the church is for them and not against them. That's what we need to do, and that's what he's trying to do here. Asking for the bonus of seeing your faces again. and doing what we can to help when your faith falters. May God our Father himself and our Master Jesus clear the road to you. And may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. The word in the original there, this was written in Greek, this part of the Bible. The word splashes over means overfill. So basically, he's saying this, soak everybody around you in God's love. Do you know, I don't know about you, but I love being around people who are encouragers, inspirers, kind people, generous people, encouraging people. I'd much rather be around people like that than the critical people, the naysayers, the ones who are trying to bring people down, the ones who never have a good word to say about anything. Who would you choose to hang out with? Absolutely, the encouragers. They're the best people to hang around with. If you have this spirit in you, you will have more friends than you can deal with. If you want to be an encourager, hang out with encouragers. That is not to say we don't challenge wrong things and we stand up for the right. Of course we do. That's different to being permanently a cynical, critical spirit. And we need to break that in our nation. And I think that's going to happen. Because God raises up more people with this spirit of generosity and love and encouragement. He goes on to say this, may you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God our Father when our Master Jesus arrives with all his followers. I was speaking to someone this week and talks here about strength and purity. The word in the original Greek here is holiness. And we're talking about these things, these mobiles, and how young people today, it's as if we've lost the battle on what they're watching on these things. Honestly, internet pornography is not an issue, it's a nightmare. It's not a little issue we need to deal with, it is a pervading nightmare, which is invading the minds and the hearts of our young people. And we need to say, it's not going to continue. We need to stop. We're going to pray on Wednesday night. If you want to stop that, get here Wednesday night. Let's fill the place and pray about this stuff. And we need to get our kids watching good stuff on here that brings them into a holy life, a pure life, that they don't have to, because to have a friend, you have to take your clothes off and take photographs and send it to someone else. What are we doing? For goodness sake. We don't have to do that. We have to say to our young people, our teenagers and our kids, to say, you don't have to live a life like that. They're not friends. They're plonkers. Keep away from them. Here are some good friends. We can introduce you to friends. That's why we need to build our youth church strong. 150 plus in our youth church here. That's why we're raising money on gift day, so we can employ more staff in our youth church. That's why our kids' church needs to be strong. Paul had much to say to them. And do you know what? What does this mean for us? Just let me move on now as we come to an end on this one. This is what he's saying. Last week, you're the message. This week, he's saying this. You're my pride and joy. You're my pride and joy. Two questions and a truth. Question one, who are you proud of? You remember I asked you? Turn to the person next to you. Tell them a name or two or three. Who are you proud of? Just share it now, will you? Who are you proud of? Okay, you've named people you're proud of. When you leave this church, before you go to sleep tonight, tell them. Tell them you're proud of them. If it's your partner, tell them you're proud of them. If your children or family, tell them. Your friend, tell them. Text them or phone them. Tell them. Don't assume they know. We've got three kids grown up now, Tricia and I. We hopefully have said over the years, we've told them we're proud of them. Not because they get great results at school. Not because they've achieved a lot. But because they're them and we love them. Because they're our children. We're proud of them. for being fantastic human beings, full of grace and love and generosity. So tell them. Question two. If you're a Christian here, put your hand up if somebody prayed for you when you were on your journey to becoming a Christian. Okay. You are their pride and joy. You got that? You are their pride and joy. They prayed for you and you found faith in Jesus Christ. You are their pride and joy. Show of hands if you're praying for someone right now on their journey in life that they would have a living faith in Christ. Yep, I'm praying for someone. One day this person will be your pride and joy. That's how it works, you see. And there's no great, and here's the truth, there's no greater joy than seeing someone find a living faith in Jesus Christ. There is no joy that replaces that. 2 minute little clip on the screen as we bring this into land. This is a story of one man as the lights come down. We're just going to show you this little clip now. It's a church in Peterborough called Kingsgate Church. Fantastic church. This guy last Christmas, when she said he brought some friends, he brought 19 of his family. 19 of his family. There's no greater joy that we can know than to know that God's love changes people's lives. And maybe you're here this morning, you've seen that, probably ignored everything I've said, but you saw that little clip on the screen and thought, well, maybe that's for me. Well, I'd love to talk to you at the end. When people get coffee, I'd love to come talk with you and pray with you and give you something to take home with you, some literature, if that's you. So I want to, just to bring this into land now, what does that mean for STC? Well, it means this. You'll hear more about this over the next weeks. Hashtag join us. Hashtag try church. We are going to invite hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to this church. We are going to invite as many people as possible. If they don't move, we're going to invite them. If they do move, we're going to run after them. We're going to market it as best we can. We're going to invest money into it because we want people to hear about the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. I've said many times before when friends many years ago invited Trisha and I with no church background, my wife and I, none at all, invited us to church like that couple invited Paul. I was not dissimilar, Sheffield guy, no history of church. I'd got my life ahead of me. Church had no part in this at all. And religion didn't have any part in it at all. It was on the 10th time he asked me that I came. And on the 9th time, I said, if you ask me again, that's the end of our friendship. And he asked me again. And he said to me, this is far more important than our friendship. It's about God and your life. And I'm so glad he asked me again to go to church. And I went, and the journey began. So if that's you, I would ask you, you know, if you know people, we're going to invite as many people as possible to church. And to finish, just these three things before the band comes out. Three truths. You see, we need to build a church here and in our nation. But I can't change the nation. I can change this place with our team. We have an amazing team here. Our aim with this church family is to build a church that our children and grandchildren would be proud to join and be part of. That they'd be proud to say, I'm a Christian. I belong to this church. This is my church. That they would know they don't have to go along with the pervading culture of youth today or teenagers. And you know what? There are lots of teenagers who want to live a different kind of life. And we need to say, come to church. This is the better life. That's what we're trying to build here. And the second truth is this. We need to be their cheerleaders. We need to invest our money and our time and our effort to build something that these young people, if you've got these little ones this morning, who've come for a Thanksgiving and a baptism. We're saying to them, even though they don't understand it, we're building something for you so that when in 10, 12, 15 years' time, you will be part of something strong. So you can look back and say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Granny and Granddad. Thank you, my family, for taking the time to build something strong for me to come to. That's the legacy we need to leave. Not money in the bank for our kids, although it's helpful. We're saying to them, this is the legacy we're leaving you. Build the church, cheer them on. And the third thing is this, if we forget the works of God, we forget our hope. Let me say that again. If we forget the works of our Almighty God and Jesus Christ, His Son, if we forget His works, we forget our hope. And that, dear friends, is what happens today. We forget our hope. Our kids have got no hope. Why? Because they're not hearing the stories of our tradition, our historic tradition of the Christian faith, which came to these shores hundreds of years ago. God transformed this nation. And we need to say, this day, we say this day, for the sake of our children and grandchildren, we say this day, we're putting a banner up, we're putting a flag in the sand and saying, this day, we're going to do it. We're going to build the church again in this place, in this city, and in this nation. When people say, oh, he gets up and he goes off the vicar, it's too hard. This is what I would say. I heard this phrase the other day, and it reminded me of a boss of mine used to say this. This is what God says. You're smart, sort it. Sort it. We are smart people. These people here will build businesses. There's smart people in this church. You are such an amazing smart church. This is not an issue for us. Don't listen to the lies that you can't do it, it's too hard. Rubbish. Rubbish. Of course we can build the church. Together, we can do this. Do you know why? Because God says to us, you're my pride and joy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and get the band out, shall we?